as I got into this to try and prepare for the presentation, you know, it's like, well, what is science? I started trying to look up, you know, definitions and stuff like that, and I didn't really come up with some very good ones. In fact, the more I got into this, the more I found out that, you know, it's actually difficult, and people have kind of given up sort of on a very firm definition of what science is, okay, and what it isn't. It's actually a difficult problem. But what I came up with, just sort of trying to piece things together for myself, was the search for understanding and description of the natural world using observation, measurement, and or experimentation, and sound thinking. So, I mean, I think that's what kind of science is about, or at least maybe it should be about. Some other people say, like, systematic study of nature based on observation and, like, hypothesis and testing and things like that. So, and how about faith? So you came up with some things. So that was another thing. It's like, okay, we're going to talk about faith. What is faith? You know, what is this? And so that, if you look in the dictionary, there's a lot of stuff on faith. And some people will say that it's sort of like belief despite the evidence. In fact, you know, I was in discussion with my brother-in-law, who's became an atheist from a Catholic background, who basically said, yeah, that's what faith is. But I don't think that's the biblical faith that we have. And so we kind of have to, I think, distinguish between, you know, what sort of this idea of the conflict between faith and science is and what our faith is. So that kind of got me started to look at, okay, how about our faith? What is that? Well, the Greek word for that is pistis. And, you know, if you kind of trace it out, it's really like an active trust in God. An active trust in God. And so it really has to do with an attitude of, someone said confidence, I like that, an attitude of confident dependence on the faithful provision of God. You know, and if you look through the scripture, and I was thinking about, you know, how do I, you know, God, he provides for me. So daily provision, you know, you read Matthew, talks about, you know, don't be worried for your life. You know, God feeds the birds. He takes care of us, you know, so we can rely on him. You know, he provides salvation for us. And this active trust can start small. I mean, Jesus talked about us having faith the size of a mustard seed. I mean, so it can grow. Okay, so it doesn't have to be like large at the beginning. It's also not a blind leap, as some would say faith is, okay? And if you look at the scriptures, faith is really based on evidence, okay? And knowledge, okay? So if you look at like Romans 1, 18 through 20, it says, "For the wrath of God has been revealed against from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because of that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them." There's evidence already about God, okay? "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." So God gives evidence, okay? And if you look through the scriptures, there's also eyewitness testimony. Okay? It's not just believe, it's like what John wrote, okay? "But these things have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." He wrote a bunch of stuff as evidence, okay? So, you know, and you can go through a lot of things to look that our faith is really based on evidence. It's just not a blind leap. So I thought that were some interesting things when I started to think about, okay, what is faith and what is this all about? Okay, so that was, you know, kind of just getting us started to think about these things. I want to get to the point of this talk tonight is there some inherent conflict between science and faith? So what do you think? I mean, have you kind of run into that? Where does this idea come from? Any ideas on that? What have you run into? Anything? Is this an issue for anybody? Science and faith? Okay. Well, so I started to look some more about this, and you know, when you go back in history, if you look at the rise of modern science, you could probably say that faith and science were more like allies for the first, you know, or the last, you know, several hundred, you know, back to the, like the 1500s or the 1600s, you know, as faith or as science sort of got started. And a couple of you in the Wednesday group heard a debate by Lennox and Dawkins. And John Lennox wrote a very interesting book that if, you know, any of this kind of turns your crank as to, you know, science and all of that, you got to read his book called God's Undertaker, Has Science Buried God? And one of the things that he wrote in there has to do with some of the great scientists. And he says that the early scientists, their belief in God, far from being a hindrance to their science, was often the main inspiration for, and they were not shy of saying so. In fact, the driving force behind Galileo's questing mind, for example, was his deep inner conviction that the Creator, who had endowed us with senses, reason, and intellect, intended us not to forgo their use and by some other means to give us knowledge by which we can attain them. So for some of the early scientists, you know, some of their motivation for doing science was, you know, to kind of understand what God had already created. Okay, so so if you look at history, I mean, you look at some of the names of some of the great guys of science. I mean, amazing. Kepler, Galileo, Descartes, Pascal, Isaac Newton, Robert Boyle, Faraday, Maxwell. Are there any electrical engineers out here? Electrical. So you know Maxwell's equations, right? Oh my goodness. Maxwell, this guy was amazing. Look at this. So, you know, the whole list of these guys, and I've heard about some of them. So let me tell you about Maxwell. Maxwell's widely acknowledged as the 19th century scientist whose work had the greatest influence on 20th century physics. Okay? This guy's a believer in Christ. His electromagnetic theory and his associated field equations paved the way for Einstein's special theory of relativity. Okay? So Maxwell's accounted with, like, Einstein. He's of that stature. Okay, now listen to this about Maxwell's life and faith. Maxwell was convinced that scientific investigation and the teachings of the Bible were not only compatible, but should be linked together. This was reflected in a prayer found among his notes. Ready for this? Quote, Almighty God, who hast created man in thine own image, and made him a living soul that he might seek after thee and have dominion over thy creatures, teach us to study thy works of the works of thy hands, that we may subdue the earth to our use and strengthen the reason for thy service, so as to receive thy blessed word, that we may believe on him whom thou hast sent to give us the knowledge of salvation and the remission of our sins, all of which we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Wow. Okay, so this guy was an amazing scientist, yet an ardent believer in had a faith. Okay, so when you go through all of that and you look at all these scientists over time who have been believers and amazing scientists, come to the conclusion they're not mutually exclusive. You can do science and you can have faith. Okay, so there's at least that as historical piece. Not only that, if you look at Christianity, historians of science have come to the conclusion that it was really Christianity that kind of provided, say, the framework or the sort of fertile ground from which science kind of grew, okay, in the 1500s. So, one of the historians of science, Alfred North Whitehead, some of you may have heard his name, said, Modern science must come from the medieval insistence on the rationality of God. My explanation is that the faith in the possibility of science generated before the development of modern science theory is an unconscious derivative from medieval theology. Okay, and then C.S. Lewis boiled it down from there, and he said pretty succinctly, quote, men became scientific because they expected law in nature, okay, and expected because they believed in a lawgiver. Okay, so science in a lot of ways got started because these scientists believed that there was order in nature, and there was a lawgiver, that things were orderly and law-like, and they could study them and find out about them. Okay, so science, in order to get going, needs some basic assumptions which are very compatible with Christianity. Okay, some of those are this idea that there is an external world that could be studied. Okay, that there are regular and kind of order to the world. Whereas, other cultures and faiths didn't believe in that kind of thing, but believed that, the universe is inhabited by spirits or capricious gods. But Christianity would hold that, no, there's a lawgiver and an orderly way to things that you then could be studied. That truth exists, okay, that things are true, that the universe is good and good to know about. That our own reason and our own sense gives us real data that we can rely on. That there are objective values, okay? Like it's good to be honest in science or things like that. I mean, those are all kind of compatible things that come along with a kind of a worldview, okay, that in a sense enables science to get going. Okay, so when you look at, again, history and a framework for being able to do science, those are very compatible with Christianity. So really there is no inherent conflict between a faith, like Christianity, that faith, and science. Okay, so where does this idea come from, then, that there's a conflict? Okay, so some of you guys, they've been doing the apologetics. Where does this conflict come from? What's the deal? And why have you guys run into it? I mean, in your own thinking about things, or does science threaten you? Does science threaten your faith? Anybody? No? And does it anything you think about? I think about it.
Say that because you can't prove that God exists, that it's not, that it's in opposition to science.
Okay. Okay, because you can't prove it. So, in a sense, it's a kind of a myth that there is, but it's kind of been pushed by people that want to, or that actually historically, that wanted to kind of get away from the authority of the church. Okay, so there were a couple of really influential books, sort of at the mid to late part of the 19th century that promoted this kind of idea of a conflict between science and faith. One of them was by this guy John William Draper. Another one was by Andrew Dixon White, who was the president of Cornell, called The History of the Warfare of Science. So they were kind of pushing the idea that there was a conflict, okay, to try and sort of weaken the cultural dominance of Christianity, okay? But it's largely viewed as, not sort of historically accurate. It's more of a caricature of what happened. And so, if you really look at what the kind of the nub of the conflict is, it's really a conflict between worldviews, okay? And during the discussion time on the back of the sheet, I have something on what worldviews are, and I want you guys to take a look at that, but we'll get to that. So the conflict is really between sort of a view of how things are that is purely naturalistic, which a lot of elite scientists maybe hold to, and a theistic worldview that is compatible with Christianity. So kind of the problem is this, what some people will call scientific naturalism, which would say something like, you know, only what science can verify is true, okay? Or something like, science deals with facts, okay? Religion deals with sort of values or just belief, okay? Or, you know, science deals with reality and faith just deals with kind of feelings, okay? So, you know, science is about what's real, faith is about what's not real, okay? And that's, I think, where the real kind of issue is. And so it goes sort of beyond what science is by itself to really how people view the world, okay? And if you have a materialistic worldview or a theistic worldview, it's kind of a battle of worldview, really. So the theistic worldview, the view that God is sort of the center of reality and, we are a product of his creation and all of that, versus just nature being all there is, a closed system. Those are kind of the things that are really in conflict. Okay, so how about that statement about, only what science can verify is true? What do you think about that? Is that true? What do you think about that? Only what's scientifically verifiable is true. Is it true? Okay, so is that a statement of science? Only what's scientifically verifiable is true. What experiments did you do to figure that out? Not a statement of science. It's really a philosophic statement. Okay? So it doesn't even agree with itself, right? So if it's not a statement of science, it can't be true by itself. It sort of self-refutes. Okay, so that's a statement of philosophy, not a statement of science. Okay, so that's one thing where that kind of fails. Okay, what else? I mean, do you guys know anything that's true that, you know, isn't scientific, or how do you conduct your life? I mean, do you conduct your life by what you learned in chemistry, you know, physics? Did you go through your life today thinking about that? Did that guide you? I mean, we know a lot of things that aren't necessarily just from that, right? I mean, how we conduct our life, the really important things about life go beyond just, you know, scientific principles. So that's kind of another thing why that doesn't make sense, right? So there's a lot of other kind of truths just besides scientific truth that we're aware of, right? Beauty, truth, aesthetic truth, right? How about the laws of logic, right? Those kinds of things. Moral truths. So, I mean, that kind of an attitude is false. I mean, we know that there are other truths besides scientific truths, okay? So we can reject that kind of an idea that science is the only thing that gives us truth. So another thing is, science depends on moral... Well, actually, it depends on moral truth, but it also depends on things that are, in a sense, metaphysical, okay? Like we went back to, you know, the beliefs of the early scientists. It depends on things like, you know, the existence of laws of logic. I mean, scientists, right, do hypothesis, do testing, got a reason. Where does logic come from? Okay, logic is a basic thing we assume, okay? It's not something that you can prove from science. So science needs reason, okay? Where does reason come from? So C.S. Lewis, again, had a really interesting quote on this that I thought was worthwhile reading. It says, "One man's reason has been led to see things by the aid of another man's reason, and none is the worse for that. It is thus still an open question whether each man's reason exists absolutely on its own, or whether it is the result of some rational cause. In fact, some other reason. That other reason might conceivably be found to depend on a third, and so on. It would not matter how far the process was carried, provided that you found reason coming from reason at every stage. It's only when you are asked to believe that reason coming from non-reason that you must cry, halt! Okay? For if you don't, all thought is discredited. It's therefore obvious that the sooner or later you must admit a reason which exists absolutely on its own. So, you know, the whole thing of where does logic come from? Well, it's got to come from somewhere. Okay? And it doesn't come from non-reason. So things that are not physical have to come from someplace else, non-physical. Okay? So, you know, if we look at things like the existence of the start of the universe, okay? The universe had a beginning, and science tells us that pretty clearly. If you read the scriptures, the Bible tells us that. So, what's the cause of the universe? Okay, the universe needs a cause. And where does that cause come from? If space and time were begun during the Big Bang, and the universe needs a cause, the cause needs to be outside of space and time. Interesting. Needs to be untimeless, right? An untimeless cause that's powerful. Do we know anyone like that? Maybe that could be God. Okay, so how about moral values? Where do moral values come from? Okay, so is that something that science brings to us? No, it isn't. Okay, so if there's no God, there's no objective moral values. How can you say something is objectively moral without a law, objective lawgiver? Okay, you can't really do that. So there's a lot of things here that, you know, kind of lead us to the credibility of believing in a theistic worldview, as opposed to a worldview that says no, nature or just science is all that we have and that gives us truth. So why is this important anyway? Why are we talking about this? I mean, why don't we just go bowling, you know? I mean, so what? Why is this important? Well, you know, partly you know, I'm a professor and kind of at the sort of intellectual level, especially at, you know, more of the higher power institutions. The worldview of sort of scientific materialism is kind of what where a lot of the people are at, and I think is for our culture these days, sort of where people derive, you know, or think of where, you know, what's most important as far as truth. I mean, I think we have, with the scriptures and our faith, other things to say about that. But at least for the, you know, these academic institutions and a lot of, you know, where you all went to school, maybe ran into some of that kind of thinking. Okay, so so that's important because, you know, these kind of ideas then get passed on to people that are going through school, become the next politicians, lawyers, judges, and we start to see, you know, the effects through our culture, okay? So Abraham Lincoln said the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of the government in the next, okay? So, you know, and it starts to trickle down as to how we view life and, you know, what our laws are like and all things like that, how we treat, you know, humans and things like that. So it's important, okay, because these ideas have consequences. There's a book written by a guy back in 1948 called Ideas Have Consequences. That kind of trace that whole thing. And, you know, these whole things really will come. And, you know, we see the effects in our culture about ideas. And we're seeing the effects of the materialistic kind of thinking. So just a couple more comments, and then I'll let you guys kind of discuss some of these things. So this whole thing of why this is important and what we should do, I wanted to read a quote by this guy who was president of Princeton Seminary at the turn of the century, 1900. It's called, named J. Gresham Machen. He said, quote, "False ideas are the greatest obstacles to the reception of the gospel." False ideas. "We may preach with all the fervor of a reformer and yet succeed only in winning a straggler here and there if we permit the whole collective thought of the nation or of the world to be controlled by ideas which by the restless force of logic prevent Christianity from being regarded as anything more than a harmless delusion. Under such circumstances, what God desires us to do is destroy the obstacle at its root." Okay, so this whole idea of false ideas, hey, science tells us all truth, or there's only, you know, only material around, and, you know, what you guys believe, you're just, you know, happy, deluded people. I mean, those kind of ideas lead people astray and can prevent people from becoming Christians, I think. So truth is important, and, you know, and being able to, I think, articulate why we believe and why there are good reasons for it, and that it's just not a leap, is important. And that in some ways we need to kind of contest the worldview and these sort of ideas that would prevent people from coming into Christ. So, what do you think we should do? Well, I have a couple thoughts on that. One of them was integrating your faith with knowledge. Okay, so I think faith and knowledge go together. And again, it's just not feelings. We're called to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay? How can we love God with our mind? What does that look like? Okay? I think some of that is understanding, you know, what he's done and what he's like and using our mind in that way. I think it's part of discipleship as well. Another thing would be to really get solid on your faith, you know, especially when challenged by folks that have a different worldview. You know, how can you maybe answer some of the objections that they might have? Another thing I think is not to be afraid of science. You know, I think that's for me probably the thing that this whole sort of science faith controversy, you know, pseudo-controversy gets to. You know, new discoveries in science, you know, I kind of feel sometimes the shake of my faith. Oh, no. You know, does that mean what I believed is kind of, you know, untrue? So I think to be able to, we don't have to be afraid of science, okay? Because, you know, science needs some of the presuppositions that our faith, I think, are very compatible with. You know, we don't have to be afraid of the finding of science, okay? Because God created everything, and whatever people discover is going to just point back to him. And more, I think scientists are seeing that. So I think we also just need to be able to give a defense of the truthfulness and the reasonability of our faith and live out the Great Commission. You know, we can always give, you know, lots of arguments for the truth of Christianity, but I think living out our faith to back up any words is probably more important than that. You know, I don't think we're called to sort of argue people into the kingdom. I think we're called to be followers of Christ. But, you know, as we need to use words, and as the opportunities come up, and people may have difficulties in you know, overcoming obstacles to faith because of, you know, sort of scientific hesitations, that we can use the words. But we want to try and live out our life that makes Christianity attractive. So those were a few, you know, kind of thoughts and some of the research that I've done on, you know, what is this whole thing, the controversy of faith and science, which I don't think there is, but it's a worldview kind of issue. And I think we have a worldview that makes sense and that is defensible credibly, and I think should strengthen our faith you know, as we kind of go on. So that's what I have. A few questions on the back of that, or beyond on that sheet for discussion. It'll hopefully, you know, make it a little more practical and helpful for you guys. So thanks for letting me come and share a few thoughts. So.